is Lori. Thank you for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective, Lori.
Hi, Brian, and thank you all the pastors for taking my call. I'm looking for maybe just some guidance and some prayer. I've called a few times before in the last couple of years. My husband passed away 2 years ago. I'm sorry, 5 years ago. And I've been just living by myself in my home because we had COVID and all that in 2020. And I have a lot of physical problems right now. I'm going to have spine surgery and some different things. And I'm having to sell my home that we've lived in for almost 41 years and moving into an independent assisted living facility until I can, you know, have my surgery and rehab. And I'm just feeling really lost and not quite sure, you know, what I know. I mean, you know, I'm going from a small 3-bedroom house to a tiny, tiny little 1-bedroom apartment. And I'm just having trouble, like, letting go of things to bring that I know I can't bring. Mm-hmm. And just the mental and emotional part of all of it.
Yeah, 41 years of memories.
Yeah.
Yes, and 38 years of being with my husband.
Yeah. Mike, what do you say to Lori?
Yeah, Lori, I'm so sorry. I mean, obviously just incredibly difficult losing your husband 5 years ago, you know, living in one place. I mean, that's the irony. You were blessed with 41 years in a place.
Yes.
You know, yes. I mean, many people, you know, have never lived in a place longer than a couple years or something. So ironically, having been so blessed with the 41 years is the very reason it's so hard to move on and to make that change. And I think you need to just receive God's grace on yourself, because of course this would be hard, right? 41 years. I mean, that's your reality. That's where everything is. This is, you know, it's what your life looks like to you, and that's changing. And I think that is naturally scary. I think naturally it, all the emotions, you know, that come with that, memories that come with that. And then even to top that all off, you know, decisions, practical decisions that you got to make in moving forward. And I'm sure the guys each have a bit of wisdom and encouragement they can share with you. I mean, the one just super simple, basic thing I want to say is that this can be an incredible time of fellowship with Jesus. And, you know, we were talking about yesterday in that seemingly just paradoxical verse in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you go through various trials. And we are saying how counterintuitive that is, because trials by definition wouldn't be joyful. If it was joyful, it's not a trial, right? You know, so how in the world am I, with a rational mind, supposed to look at extreme trials like the one you're going through with joy? And I think it's because you get more of Jesus, you know, because I think the truth is, as good as having a home is and being in the same place and having, you know, not just even possessions, right? You know, some people get sort of superficially attached to things, but then you can, there's a lot of meaning behind, you know, the things that we have, you know, who we got them with, where we got them, how long they've been there, the person who put them in that place. And so, you know, you're going to be going through, as you go through boxes, as you go through drawers, you're also going through the inner workings of your own heart. And you're starting to see, like, how, you know, where are the strings of my heart attached to? And I think more and more as you do that, you'll start to have more and more opportunities just to give more and more of your heart to Jesus. Because I do think it's natural, and I think to some extent inescapable, that, you know, we become attached to things in this life. And, you know, I mean, I can speak in bits and pieces of, you know, my dad died 23 years ago at 57 years old. We had to help my mom go through all her stuff. You know, years ago, we literally up and sold everything we owned and only took what would fit into our minivan to move halfway across the country. And just the process of selling things that you didn't even think mattered to you. And all of a sudden you're crying, you know, and you're like, what in the world is this? And I just, it was incredibly hard, or to, you know, watch my wife just bawling her eyes out over something we could not take with us, but had so much meaning for her. And it just really became an opportunity, a time for sweet fellowship with Jesus. So I just want to encourage you, in no way diminishing the struggle and the difficulty and the challenge, but at the same time, I want to encourage you, this can be maybe the greatest spiritual season of growth you've ever been through in your life. And I just want to encourage you and just encourage you to pray that and to accept that and ask Jesus to meet you where you are day by day in what you're going through.
Phil Metzger.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was really great, Mike. And yeah, Lori, I mean, obviously this is terrible. It's terrible what you're going through. And I totally echo that. I want to get to pray for you as well. But I was also thinking of something else too, that like, you know, I mean, because there's going to be so much displacement and so much of like loss and all. I think there's a place for us in our lives. And it's sad that this is the reality that, you know, we seek to avoid a lot, but there's kind of this like holy reality of mourning. Mm. And, you know, I almost think like, you know, parting with things that have meant so much, the fact that like, and I think I'm agreeing with Mike on this, on such a deep level of like, you don't have to be happy about any of this stuff. Like, you're allowed to mourn, and you should mourn. Mm. Like, biblical mourning is a really like sacred thing in the scriptures. And the idea of sackcloth and ashes, the idea of like weeping, and it's not, you're not weeping over something you've done, but what's happening to you. And so I wonder if there's not like a sacred place for like mourning the loss of that thing. Mm. You don't have to just immediately jump to, oh, none of these things matter anyways, I'm going to be in heaven. That's true. You are going to be in heaven. The good news is this is as lousy as it's ever going to get. But the bad news is it still really stinks, and it's terrible, and it's really hard. And so to be allowed to like walk through that and be like, I'm giving this thing up that has meant so much, and being able to mourn over that and to commit that to the Lord and have those honest conversations with God about this, like, this is unbearable. This is impossible. And I think in that sacred space, God's going to meet you in ways that like none of our words will ever be able to. There'll be something sacred about the presence of God through every item that you hand over, through the move to a new place that isn't where you want to be, to all those memories. You know, no one can take, no thing can take memories from you. Those are in you. And so, you know, you're going to carry those. And it is a time of mourning, and it's okay to mourn.
Yeah, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to grieve these things. Sometimes we think of the word grief as just something for if a loved one dies or something like that. But no, it could be, I mean, you've lived in this house for 41 years. How do you not grieve the fact that you can't live there anymore? Yeah. Richard?
Right. Thank you.
Lori, do you have a church family?
Not really. No, I haven't been able to like drive for almost a year now because of my, you know, my physical problems and neuropathy, things like that. Mm-hmm. I used to belong to a church, but it's been many years since I've gone. All my siblings and their spouses are all, you know, very devout Christians, and they're helping me and, you know, telling me how great this is going to be, which I know it will be, and it'll be better for me. I'm just... You know, but I do have a Bible. I mean, yeah. I have that. I just don't. And, you know, they have, I guess, you know, kind of church here on Sundays. And so I've only been here 1 week, but I'm still kind of going back and forth to my house bringing things. So I want to, you know, maybe by next weekend, attend the service here that they have on Sundays.
Well, that's great. Well, it's good to hear that you have siblings that are followers of Jesus, and it kind of makes this, it amplifies the reality of the importance of the family of God. Like, you have biological family that is a part of the family of God, and you know, in there are so many verses, Lori, in the New Testament that uses this one another language to love one another, right? Mm-hmm. And to comfort one another. And so besides the fact that they're your siblings by biologically, there's this deep deeper thing that happens and that can happen between you and them, because they're your spiritual brothers and sisters as well. And I would really encourage you to lean into that. My wife and I, her mom and dad, they're in their 90s now, and my wife and her sisters are starting to see the realities of, like, you know, how are we going to care for them? And the fact that, like, no matter where you're staying, theoretically, you know, in the best sense, hoping the best, nobody's going to love you more than family, right?
Right.
And biblically, no one should love you more than your brothers and sisters in Jesus. And because the bond is, we're blood related by the blood of Jesus, and we're indwelt by the same God, the Holy Spirit, you know. So because of that unity, when Paul talks about maintaining the unity of the Spirit, he doesn't say create the unity of the Spirit, but maintain it, because by the virtue of the new birth, you are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. And so that family connection with your brothers and sisters in Jesus is so important at times like this, because they can weep with you, they can rejoice with you, they can encourage you, they can be there, and it really, it's meaningful. And they, you know, it's not like everything that's been expressed about the reality of what you're going through was so wonderful, so clear, and so true. And they're going to be the ones that are going to let you feel what you're feeling and walk with you through those feelings, and be there for you in those feelings. And in time, you'll look back and go, well, the Lord was with me every step of the way. Every step of the way.
And I know he is. I know he is.
Praise the Lord.
Mike?
Yeah, I just want to, I feel like I should just circle back to what Phil said and highlight. I think a lot of Christians who mean well want to rush through the grief to get to the joy. And I think in a way that actually undermines the joy. And it undermines the sanctification process that actually happens through grief. You know, scholars differ, but a rough percentage, I'd say 40% of the Psalms are actually laments. And that's so important, because a lot of Christians think you got to get past mourning and grief in order to worship. But lament teaches us we can worship in and through our grief.
Yep.
And so I think, well, it's great that your family, I think you mentioned this, pointed out, oh, hey, it's all going to be great for you, which, again, that may be true. But at the same time, and not saying they're doing this, but just want to hammer home the point for anyone else that might be listening, we don't want to overlook the season of grief and suffering and mourning people are in by merely pointing to, well, one day you'll be over this. Oh, your family died, and they're in heaven, and one day you will be too. Okay, yes, but here I am right now, you know. And we want people to understand that the scripture says the Lord is nearest the brokenhearted.
Yep.
And I think learning to walk with Jesus right now, not simply looking forward to, oh, you know, at some point I'll see the reason behind all this and the result. No, the beauty is right now, with all the grief, with the mourning, with the struggle, God is with you, and you can actually worship. I think maybe even the most profound way is actually right where you are, not on the other side.
Phil, would you pray for Lori?
Love to. Yep, love to. Father, I want to thank you for the sincerity and the honesty in which Lori reached out and has shared her heart and what she's going through. And we do pray, Lord, and in our way, Lord, we just want to acknowledge the pain and the sorrow and the loss. And there's no greater comforter than you, Jesus. There's just no greater comforter. And just echoing what was just said, Lord, I love that you're okay with our grief. Like, you invite our grief, not so that you can just say it's going to be okay, but to allow us to just, there's a healing that happens in our lament. And I just pray for that for Lori. I do pray for the right people to come around her, to support her, to be with her, to encourage her. Lord, I pray that as she's in a new place, that maybe she would be able to find a new level of fellowship that would not replace what's missing, but would just be, it could be sweet in its own way for this season of her life. Above all, Lord, just help her to remember that she's here and she's alive, and that you have purpose for her life still, and that she matters and she's valuable. Bless her, bless her, bless her. In Jesus' name, amen.